Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris, for that. What a wonderful time singing. Amen. The Word of God is wonderful, but the music is helpful to get our hearts ready for the Scriptures. The book of 2 Chronicles this evening. 2 Chronicles in chapter number 15. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 15. Now, this morning, we were speaking about the importance, obviously, of seeking the Lord and how knowing who God is and understanding what God can do for us and the peace that He can give. And if we don't have peace, then we need to know God better. Obviously, the strength that He can give to battle the flesh, to battle the world. It's God's battle. I love that thought about the battle is the Lord's. It's not my battle. It's not your battle. It's His. And if we surrender to Him, He will be in control of that battle. And of course, we need to know God in a greater way. Well, here tonight in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, I want to read a lot of Scripture tonight. We're going to read a large part of chapter 15. We'll back up into chapter 14, and we'll make some points even into chapter number 16. And we'll begin reading here the story of Asa. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, and verse number 1. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." Now notice that right there, because we don't want to miss what the prophet was saying or who he was speaking to. He wasn't speaking just to the king Asa. He also said to all of Judah and Benjamin. If you remember, the nation of Israel had divided under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Asa became one of the kings there. But this message is not just to this king. It says this, continuing in verse number 2. "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." By the way, you will find that those things always go together. If you have a lawless society, it's due to the absence of the Word of God being taught and preached, and it's due to the absence of people knowing the true God. When we look at our world today and we see it quickly unraveling and falling apart, it's because of those things. It's because God's people have forgotten God. It's because God's people perhaps were not listening to the teaching, or unfortunately, the Bible even talks about how the pastors and the priests and the teachers are tickling the ears instead of preaching the true things of the Word of God, and obviously without the law. But in verse 4 it says, "But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries." And you would have to go back into the earlier part of Chronicles to see when Rehoboam and Jeroboam, of course, the kingdom divided, and then after the death, brothers against brothers, and the lineage of David was supposed to rule, and it was just battle, battle, battle. That's what this is being described there, all of the vexations, which we see in our life many times today. Verse 6 says, "And nation was destroyed of nations, of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." And it goes on and it describes the things that Asa did. If you will go down into verse number 18, it says, "And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels." Now look at verse 19. "And there was no more war under the 35th year of the reign of Asa." What a joy it is when a people determine to seek the Lord. But many times, we don't. That's the bottom line. We seek everything but God. And even sometimes when we say we're seeking the Lord, the reality is we're not seeking the Lord. And I think there's some great lessons we could learn from Asa tonight. I particularly like that verse in verse number 8. When Asa heard the prophecy of Oded, he took courage. And that is the purpose of this message tonight, is to encourage you. We live in a world full of wickedness and adversity, problems and trials, and probably tonight in this room and those that would be a part of this church and maybe some that are not here tonight that you may be concerned about are facing great adversity. I want you to take courage tonight that if you seek the Lord, He will be found. Now I will say this, this message doesn't end in a very positive light if you know the end of the life of Asa. But would you consider that thought tonight? And you know, nobody else may seek the Lord, but you can. And what a difference it would make if a young person, maybe there's problems in your home, and many times young people, they, in my ministry, I talk to young people and they come to me and they say, my father, my mother, and they talk about all the problems of their family. And I usually tell them, I say, you know, I can't change your mother or your father, and neither can you, but you can change you. You can seek God and you can call out to God and you can live for God. Sometimes there's a spouse and they come and they say, well, my spouse, the other, the husband, the wife, whichever one it is, this. And you know what? You can't change that spouse. But you can change you. Sometimes it's the parent. They come and they say, my child is this and they're wayward and I'm concerned, I'm burdened. And what can I do for my child? Well, if they're a little itty-bitty baby, there's a lot of training and discipline you can do, amen? But if they've gone beyond those stages, you better seek the Lord. Because there's only one person that you can change, and that's you. Sometimes it's grandparents, and they look at their grandchildren, and they sometimes look at married children, and they say to me, Brother Smith, I taught them right, I showed them right, and I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And I say, I don't either. But there's something you can do. You can seek the Lord. It's amazing what God can do. Sometimes people look at their church and they say, my church has this problem. And I usually say, well, that's not unusual, because churches are made up of people and people are full of problems, and when you put everybody in the same assembly, you just get more problems. That's life, amen? Well, what should I do? Not leave the church. Seek the Lord. And of course, then it spills over to our society, to our schools. You know, I'm assuming that the schools in Castlegar are no different than the schools in the rest of the world. And you might have children that go to those schools and you may despair and say, what do I do? Seek the Lord. You may look at your political government and say, what do we do? Seek the Lord. And He shall be found. And so let's pray tonight. And then let's look at this story of the life of King Asa and see what God would have us to learn from this testimony. Father in heaven, I pray You would help us tonight. Lord, if we can only understand that God, You are the Creator. And Lord, as we've already read, that if we call upon You while You are near, Lord, You hear. If we seek You while You may be found, then God, You will be found. God, I pray tonight that You'd help us to ponder this in our hearts. And Lord, we may not be able to change others, but God, tonight, could we honestly, with a clear heart, have a testimony that says that we have taken courage and we are seeking the Lord. Father, let us be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Lord, help me to speak Your word the way that You'd want it to be spoken. Give us Your power and Your presence tonight. We ask this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you, as I've mentioned tonight, you understand the story, a little bit of the background leading up to the time of Asa. If you go back into the previous chapters, and of course you have Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and you have Rehoboam dying and Abijah taking over the kingdom, and Abijah was the father of Asa. If you read chapter number 13, it describes some of the acts that Abijah did as he took a stand for which was right, but his time period was a very great time of turmoil and battles and brothers killing brothers. And so chapter 14 tells us about Abijah's death in verse number 1 and Asa his son reigning in his stead. Look if you would at verse number 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. It says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." And it describes some of the things that he did in verse 3. He took away the altars of the strange god and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And what an amazing testimony is as Asa did that which was right. And if I could encourage you tonight as a child of God, do right. If there's anything in your life, if there's anything you know in the Scriptures that's right, just do it. I'll be the first to admit there are things I'm learning in the Scriptures. There's things that I hear people preach and I hear people say and challenges that I hear and I'm not convinced about what they're saying. But the things that you already know that are right, just do right. Now you say, "Well, Brother Smith, it's not always easy to do right." Then if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But don't give up on doing right. We live in a world today where people are just throwing away that which is right. If you know something is right, then heed to it. Stay steadfast to it. Even if nobody else is doing it, do right. I wonder what would happen in our lives once again as God's people if we would simply just do right. The Bible says that when He built the fences and He brought those things back, that the land did have rest. If you continue reading in verse number 7, "Therefore He said unto Judah, Let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." Let me say something else tonight. When God prospers you and God gives you rest, do something for God. Advance the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's an amazing thing. We make all types of promises in the battles. "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And man, I'll be in church and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll do." And we say all of those things in the time of adversity. But what do we do in the times of rest? Let's be real tonight. How much time do we spend in prayer when everything is going good? Somebody said one time, "Well, I don't have anything to pray about." Then you don't understand prayer. There's lots to praise God about and talk to God about and worship God. Nobody likes a friend that only talks to them when they need something. But the reality is, what do we do for God in times of rest? What do we do, you know, there's a trouble with a child in our home and so we ramp up the spirituality in the home, but what do we do when there is no trouble in the home? Should we not be ensuring that the children are in their Scriptures and advancing the kingdom of God? You know, it's kind of like the man that doesn't go to church and doesn't go to church and doesn't go to church because he's got the job and the boat and the lake and the fishing and hunting and gaming and hockey and everything else there is, and all of a sudden the job falls apart, but he's in church. Faithfully. Not King Asa. When God gave them rest, Asa advanced the kingdom of God. Often it's an amazing thing that when we're financially strapped, we promise God great things. "If I had, I would give." And then we got. We don't give. We advance our own kingdom. But what about the things of God? Continue reading in verse number 8. It says, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." Now that's an amazing verse when you think about it. How vast of an army that Asa had developed in this time. I mean, he had some resources. Verse 9. "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. Wow. That's a big number. "And 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephath of Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. What an amazing story, isn't it? Asa had a pretty good sized army, but all of a sudden the Ethiopians come with 1,000,000. And what does Asa do? He goes to battle. But when he goes to battle, he says, Lord, this is not a problem for you. We rest on thee. What an amazing statement. They didn't run and hide and flee, and God brought the battle to their side. Verse 13, Asa and the people that are with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And it goes on and describes the rest of the battle. And that period of Asa's life, he tore down the altars and the false gods, he built the fenced cities, he did great deeds for God. But God knows the heart of men. And in the midst of all of that, God raises up the prophet in the verses that we just read and reminds Asa, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Because if you don't seek Him, you won't find Him. You see, sometimes we make the false assumption, because everything is going okay, that God is still with us. That's not necessarily true. We are to seek Him at all times. I just have some verses for you to look at tonight. We'll come back to Chronicles. Hold your fingers there. We'll come back here in just a moment. Let's just look at some of these verses. And there are many more. But we'll start in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. In verse number 29. And of course, this is God giving His commandments to His people. We won't have time to read all of the surrounding verses of all of these texts tonight. But He's challenging them as they go into the land of Canaan and they're going to be prospering. He was warning them that what would happen if they forsook the Lord, they would be scattered. And in the midst of this, in verse number 29, He says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Could I ask you a question tonight? How are you doing in seeking the Lord? How many of you have lost something this week? Anybody lose a remote control? Car keys? $100? When you lose something that you value, how do you seek for it? Now, if you lose a quarter, you know, you're walking down the road and it falls out, you hear it go ting, 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 and it's gone. You might look for it, but how long do you look for it? I mean, after all, you know, you stop your car, you block the traffic, you throw up roadblocks. Everybody says, what are you doing? You say, I've just lost a quarter and I'm trying to find it. Now maybe somebody's going to say, here's a quarter, go on, would you? But if you said, I just had an envelope and it had $10,000 in it and I just lost it. They're all going to help you look for it, hoping they get a reward. Why? Because the value has what? Increased. So question tonight, how much do you value the Lord? How hard do you seek for Him? Or do you just assume that He's there? Now you'll find out very quickly if He's there or not when you need Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. turn back there for just a second into the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. We'll read two verses. These are the words of David at the time that they brought the Ark of God and the joy that was taking place there. You could read verse 7. It says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." But in verse 8 he says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Look at verse 10. "Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face." What's that word? Continually. Continually to seek his face. I suppose tonight that all of us have endeavored at different times in our lives to get somebody's attention. Parents try to get children's attention. Children try to get parents' attention. You're at the store and the line is, 12 people long, and you're trying to get the manager's attention and you're looking for their face, right? Seek his face continually. In other words, to know that God notices you. Can I ask you a question tonight? Could you honestly say that you believe right now tonight that God notices you? We say the eyes of the Lord are upon the earth. Do you believe tonight that God's eyes are on you? I meet a lot of Christians today that, yeah, but they don't really believe it in their heart. Because as soon as something occurs, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Lord, why me?" Are we seeking His face continually? Look at Psalm 105. It's the text again repeated. The Psalm of David. Psalm 105. We won't read it all. But beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." That's part of prayer, is it not? Not just saying, "Lord, I need, but calling upon His name and letting people know what wonderful things the Lord has done for you. Churches used to have what they called a testimony service. And they used to say, "Does anybody have a testimony tonight?" And person after person would raise their hand and they would give a testimony of what God has done for them. But the reality is today, churches stopped having testimony services because nobody would testify of what God has done for them. Maybe 20 years ago, what has God done for you today? Was God's eye on you today? Could you give testimony of His deeds among the people? He continues in verse 2. "Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works." Do we do that today? We're good at complaining. It's amazing that in the Scriptures, how much God says He despises complaining and murmuring. Why? Because if we're truly looking at God and He's looking at us and we have that relationship and you behold His beauty, everything changes. Look at verse 3. "Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord." Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. You see, it's not just going to God in the bad times. It's not just going to God in the hard times. It's not just going to God because we need something. But it's desiring to have His presence all the time. Isaiah 31 will give us the heart of what took place in the life of Asa that we'll read in just a few minutes. But look over the book of Isaiah and chapter number 31. Isaiah chapter number 31. We'll come back to Asa in a few moments and hope you'll remember this verse when we come back to the story of King Asa. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse number 1. A very strong word. Isaiah says, "Woe to them." Well, when God says woe, we ought to pay attention. We ought to say, I don't want to be involved in that. He says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. If we're not seeking God in the good times, here's the reality, we're not truly going to seek Him in the hard times. We might ask God for help, but there's a difference between asking God for help and seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord entails God, what would you like me to do? Here's how we generally come to God in the hard times. Now, Lord, I need you to do this, 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 this. We had it all figured out. If you'll just take care of this, 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 everything will be okay. But rather saying, Lord, can you teach me in this? Can you show me in this? Can you give me your wisdom in this? But boy, we're quick to run to Egypt, aren't we? That's the world. That's the flesh. That's, okay. If the Bible was being written brand new today, it would be, woe to them that go to Google for help. Are you with me? Let's be real tonight. Where's the first place people go when they have a problem? Shall we check the search histories? This is said, 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 this is said. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is wisdom to be gained from medical doctors and people that have had experience, but that wisdom is meaningless without God. But we don't seek God. We don't get on our faces and say, Lord, could you help me here? This is in all areas of our life. Someone needs to buy a car. I'm being practical tonight. Buy a vehicle. Car reports. Those are put together by sinful men. You understand that, right? But did you go to God in prayer first? And seek His face? And see what God would have and the wisdom that God could. Maybe God doesn't even want you to buy the car. Time for a job. Young people here tonight, it's career time. You go into school, they say, what is your career? Well, let's find out which careers are going to do the... Wait a second. What about seeking the face of God? What about coming to the Lord first and seeing what God wants? Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. Sometimes the help and the counsel of the world and the things of the world look very good. And it might even work. But it's not seeking God. Isaiah 55. And in verse number 6. What a pondering verse. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. It goes on and says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. But a supposition tonight. Is it possible that you could seek God too late? Is it possible that if we would have been seeking God continually, seeking God in the good times, seeking Him for strength, seeking Him for wisdom, we would not have made decisions and mistakes that are irreversible? Because sometimes people seek the Lord and it is too late. I remind you, the Bible says that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Him as Lord. Someday the world will seek the Lord at the great white throne judgment, but it is too late. At that day He will not be found. He will be glorified, but He will not be found. They will be lost forever. I wonder sometimes as believers, we're missing what God has because we seek Him too late. It's interesting, in verse number 8, He says, and down a little bit further in the chapter, verse 8 says, "For My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways." Now that's an interesting verse how God words that, because He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." In other words, what God's thinking is not what you're thinking. And then He says, "Your ways are not His ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts." How much better it would be if we would seek the Lord. And then finally, Hosea chapter number 10. And I've just given you a few samplings tonight of it. You could get yourself a concordance if you'd like and look up that word seek and start in Genesis and go to Revelation and see how much God emphasizes the importance of seeking His name, seeking His face, seeking His presence, seeking the Lord. But Hosea chapter number 10 and in verse number 12 it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." And I include that tonight to say, continue to seek the Lord. Never stop seeking Him, even if it seems like it's distant. Even if it seems like He's not hearing. Even if it seems like He's not answering. Even if it seems like there's no sight and end. Don't stop seeking the Lord. So go back to our text in the book of 2 Chronicles. The Bible says in chapter 15 that when Asa heard the words, he took courage and he put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah. And we read according to the words that he did. We skipped over just a little bit, and we should back up and read just a couple of verses again in chapter number 15. In verse number 14, "They swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets, with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him, the Lord, with their whole desire. And He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." I like verse 16. "And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook of Kidron." Now that's a pretty amazing thing. His own mother had an idol and he went and said, "Sorry, Mama, you're not queen no more." And he took her idol and burned it and stomped on it. But in verse 17 it does say this one, "The high places were not taken away out of Israel." There were some things that Asa didn't fully deal with. But nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And so we read up to the 35th year of his reign, there was no more war and there was peace. But remember, God wants to purge us, right? God wants to cleanse us. God wants us to make us vessels of honor. And so He wants to test Asa one more time. And that's chapter 16. "In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah." And so there's a battle arising. In verse number 2 it says, "Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. And behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ejon and Dan and Abimelech and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, where Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Sounds so good, doesn't it? A battle came, he collected the money, he hired the Syrians, they went against his enemy, the enemy dispersed, and everything looked so good. But it wasn't. Remember what we read about he that trusteth in Egypt and horses and chariots instead of seeking the Lord? That's what Asa just did. So God has a message, verse number 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. I notice this statement. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have what? Wars. Let's be real tonight. Many people in this world today, Christianity-wise, complain about their life. Complain about the struggles and the battles and the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations and everything that they face. But the reality is do we truly seek the Lord while He may be found? In the good times, are we seeking the Lord? In the good times, are we advancing His kingdom? One of my greatest grievances is that I hear over and over again is my life ages and those around me age and churches are getting older where I preach. My heart is burdened when I hear people talking about wishing they could do more for God. But in the good days, they didn't do things for God. The reality is, their life isn't going to get better. I'm not being harsh tonight, I'm being real. We have young people here tonight. They need to think about that. It's good, the Bible says, for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for a young man and a young lady to live zealously for God and to seek God first, because so many people in the latter days of their life, when life aches and death is drawing near, saying, I wish I could. But the reality is they can't. You see, when we fail to seek God, and we trust in our own strength and our own devices, it may look like it works, but it doesn't. Because people are going to give glory to you, your flesh, and your plans instead of glory to God. And Asa is going to have wars. And then sadly, look at verse number 10, because this reveals the end of his life. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. What a difference from chapter 15. In chapter 15, when the prophet came and said, listen, seek God, seek God. He took courage and he did great things for God. But when the prophet came and rebuked him and said, Asa, you failed to seek God. How dare you talk to me like that? What about it tonight, Christian? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking His face continually? When things are going good, are you advancing the kingdom of God? And in the problems when they come, are you truly seeking God, or are you just seeking deliverance from the problem? God will test you. Are we failing or passing the test tonight? What's the battle you're facing tonight? How much time have you spent seeking His face compared to time you've spent trying to solve it yourself? The Bible finishes this story and says, "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign..." Okay, so it was in the 36th year when the test came and he failed. "Threw the prophet in prison. And in the 39th year of his reign," a couple years later, "he was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great." Mark it, look at it, verse 12. "Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." Those are God's words, are they not? Those are God's words. I've often wondered how different it would have been in the life of Asa had he continued to seek the Lord. You see tonight, friend, you may have started your Christian life seeking the Lord. And you may have sought God and saw God do things and been blessed of God and encouraged in the things of God. But you can never stop seeking the Lord. It's an easy thing to do. I know the Bible. I know what God says. I've done this many times. Instead of going to God and saying, "Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, what is your ideas and thoughts about this?" And it's so easy to walk in the flesh. And a friend comes along and tries to encourage us, maybe even rebuke us, maybe even challenge us and say, "How is your walk with God?" It's easy to play Christianity tonight, friend. It's easy to come to church, sing a song, maybe have a devotional checklist box, and live the Christian life, but not truly seeking the Lord. We may never know in this life who in the church was really seeking God, but we will know when we see Him. When we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I've often wondered, how many people will hang their head in shame because they looked so good, but it was just the flesh. And someone else who in this world didn't look so good, but they sought God in His face. Maybe a child. Maybe someone struggling with sins and temptations and struggles, but they just kept seeking His face. Don't fail the test tonight. Seek Him while He may be found. Let's pray.